there's been obviously a lot of things impacting the AFLW at the moment, Jared. One of them being COVID, which is impacting sports everywhere in the world. A lot of women's players have gone down in the AFLW. A lot of those have been Brisbane players, but they still yesterday had a really impressive win over the Carlton Footy Club, 9-9-63 to 4-4-28. To talk that and all things footy is their coach, the great Craig Starcevic.
And he joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Craig.
G'day, guys.
And a good win, plenty of goals, which will keep Wolsey happy. I think Wolsey's a great Carlton man, so he would not be happy with the result. But he would have been thrilled, given that he coached the Brisbane Bears, to see you kick 9-9.
At Carrara, where Wolsey spent a lot of time.
Indeed,
too, Jared.
Yes. So the goals are starting to come in the AFLW.
Oh, yeah. I mean, geez, we only kicked one in the first week, and that was only 2 weeks ago, so...
Let me say, they're starting to come intermittently.
Intermittently, yeah, inconsistently. No, they are. The scoring has gone up year on year dramatically, actually. So, I think it's the amount of time that you have with the group, skill-wise, fitness-wise. I also think the venues play a bit of a part as well. I found last night on a very still night in a stadium at Metricon, the standard of footy was actually very, very high. The ball moved really quickly. We were, you know, a couple of goals up most of the night, but you never really felt like you were home. The style of footy is better in those types of venues, I think.
Jared, are you going to ask this question that's been playing on your mind for
I was going to wait until later.
Weeks. Okay, I'll throw a few in there. Craig, that the loss of Kate Lutkins with the knee injury in round one, I just wanted to ask you, and Jared's going to touch on your background as in high performance later, but the run of ACLs, obviously Kate, a huge loss, but what do you put it down to in the last, not just year, it must be said, in AFLW?
I don't know is the short answer, but I'm suspicious about a couple of things.
Okay.
So rather than actually say that's the reason, which no one can, to be honest.
What are you suspicious of, Craig?
When you see the change of direction without body contact, you're always suspicious about how grippy the ground is. So I know there's been a lot of stuff done with ground hardness and the, I don't know what the measure is for torsion or twisting or how grippy it is on your footwear, but all that stuff used to get measured a lot. I presume it still does. I don't know, to be honest, because I'm not in that space anymore, but it certainly used to get measured a lot back in the day. So I don't know. I'm just suspicious about summertime, firm grounds, really sort of matted grass growth that gives you no margin for error in terms of twisting and turning. It just it grips your boot and then you're in trouble.
I think the Eagles, did they go through that patch with the Fremantle Dockers? They were concerned that, I think it was the couch grass that was on the old Subiaco, was fundamental or played a part in a few of their ACLs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was the research that was done, but that's sort of 20 years old now. Yeah. I don't know where they're at now in terms of that type of research.
Whilst we're on the high performance, I've got to get this off my chest. Scoops opened up the door. the benefit or lack thereof of players, and I see them all the time down in the bay.
Oh, here we go. It's the beach.
It's the beach recovery session where players walk into their mid-thighs and just stand around. Now, I could sort of understand there may be a slight degree of rehab benefit if the water was 10 degrees, which it is in the middle of winter. But when it's 20 degrees, and I've seen this in the last 2 weeks, I get the only thing they're going to accrue from that is sunburn.
What would you prefer, Jared?
Well, I prefer swimming. Do an active rehab.
I'm with you on that one, actually. So, yeah, like if you're going to get in cold water, get in and do some get some movement happening. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
But even getting into warm water, you might as well have a bath. You might as well go and have a shower. It could have, it would have not 1% of benefit at all, and yet we seem to be doing it because someone else is doing it.
But, Craig, you know, during the Lions winning the three flags, wasn't the thing you bring the wheelie bins in of ice? And you just sit there? There's not much movement happening there.
But at least that's cold water. At least that's ice.
But that still happens.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, research-wise, I don't know where it's at right now with all of that. There used to be contrast plunging as well, hot and cold plunges. So that seemed to, and that's still in vogue a little bit. I don't know. I don't know who's got the concrete science behind all of this to say that is the best way to recover. Although the bottom line is get a good night's sleep. That's the best way of recovering.
Stay off the alcohol. It's probably the most thing that helps you the most. Your own team, you've had the ultimate success. We spoke to you after your premierships. Where are you at the present time?
We obviously had a bit of a shaky start the first round. Yep. I've never been in a game of footy before when the centre-half back and centre-half forward go down within half an hour of each other. So that was tricky to negotiate. Plus then around that time, we had our first case of COVID in the group as well on our travel to Adelaide. So that really shook things up. And I don't know what's better, to be honest, whether you have four or five go down in dribs and drabs or whether you have all 14 go down like we did in one big clump. So, I don't know. These are all things I think the men's comp are probably going to have to deal with at some point in the next month or two. But, yeah, so fortunately, even last night, of that 14, I think we've got sort of 10 back training and maybe half of those were barely affected and the other half are still struggling a bit. So, it was just nice to be able to get out and run around and compete really well and play at game intensity and put on a decent show.
It was reported today the AFL considering having train-on squads, which is probably the logical extension. We've been expecting them to say something official for a few weeks now. How do you think that can work and how do you think it should work?
With the men's competition?
Yep.
Yeah. I know with us, we've got 30 on our list and we've got a train-on squad of 10. And it was very real that we might have needed a couple of them last night. Mm. So, yeah, we definitely got to the point where we were right on the edge of 21 fit and healthy players. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's I don't know. The fact that the men's season doesn't start until March might mean that you'll get, people come through and get a little bit of COVID in the next couple of months and recover and be okay. But yeah. I don't know. It's too difficult to predict, but I think there'll have to be some sort of safety net there for teams, I would have thought, just in case they get too low.
And how are you going with the pursuit of a full-time professional code? Where do you see that in its journey towards it actually happening?
I'd love it to happen tomorrow, Jared, to be honest. I don't. The finance part of it is the tricky part. So, and it's all linked to the CBA and the media rounds and all that sort of stuff. So, the media rights. So, yeah, that part of it I'd like to see happen tomorrow. All I can think about is back around 97, 98, and you would remember when, I think it was Terry Wallace actually got the Bulldogs to start training mid-morning instead of late afternoon like the rest of us did, and then every other club in the competition followed suit. So there was no actual plan back in the late 90s for the men's comp to suddenly go full-time professional.
Yeah.
It just sort of happened organically. So all I can think of is that cohort of players in the late 90s, what were their professional standards and training ethics like compared to the group that we've got now in AFLW? And I'm thinking they're about the same, and possibly our girls are actually more committed as a collective. I'm saying, so I'm thinking going back to those days. If that's the measure for readiness for professionalism, then I think we're in a pretty good spot.
It's a real challenge. I'm not sure what the right answer is, but I think one of the issues that needs to be addressed, Craig, is if we make the competition full-time, and let's say that happened tomorrow or for next year, at what level of finance would it need to get before girls could actually say, well, I've got to earn a living as well. I've got to have a career somewhere else. If they can't make, a significant income, well, then maybe until we get to that point where it's significant, then even if we could get them $50,000 each or $35,000 each, it's too early.
Yeah, and at the moment, that only applies to, at best, 4 to 6 in your team, at the very best. So, you're right. We do need to reach that threshold at some point. But again, these were all the conversations that were going on in the men's comp back in the late 90s. You know, who was on decent enough point back then to actually make football their full-time profession? So they're exactly the same conversations that we were having back, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
And you're full-time, Craig?
I am at the moment, but I'm only 6 months. Right. So that's my setup at the moment, just for the AFLW season.
Would you like 12 months? Would you like a 12-month career either in AFL men's comp or AFLW?
Oh, AFLW, definitely. Yeah, that would be ideal, and that's, you know, where it'll evolve to, I guess, when we've got the players more regularly throughout the whole year. That's certainly not the driving force behind what I'm talking about.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
I'm definitely talking about the players' welfare here.
Thanks so much for coming on, Craig. Good luck for the rest of the year, whatever challenges that are thrown up at you.
Thanks, boys. Good on you. Thanks for having us.